This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, the number if you would like to get in here. Did you watch any of the Oscars last time?
No, I kept track of it on Twitter. I don't care about the Oscars. I only seen one movie, and that was Get Out and half a shape, The Shape of Water.
And wait a minute, you saw, how do you see half a movie?
Because I have software that allows me to see movies I shouldn't see.
Stealing? That's not finessing the game. That's stealing.
I would call
it's not a victimless crime.
I would call it finessing because I didn't go out of my way.
It
just happened to be.
So if you don't go out of your way, if an armored truck pulls up right next to you and you hold it up, well, I didn't go out of my way.
I didn't hold it up.
Well, you kind of did.
No, I didn't.
You're stealing that movie.
If someone gives
those people worked their asses off to get paid.
And they got paid an Oscar.
No. That doesn't pay anything.
Yes, it does.
It's just a statue. Doesn't put any bread on the table.
Hey, Sally Hawkins, you're in The Shape of Water. That won an Oscar. You put on a great performance. You know what? We're going to put you in more movies. You got paid. There you go. It was...
Boom.
I didn't hold it up.
Boom. Paid.
Yeah, exactly. I was just given the opportunity. It was like if the armored truck
held it up.
Stopped in front of me and the guard was like, you know what? No one really wants this money. You can have it. That's what it was.
No, actually, you didn't even want it. You only watched half of it.
To be fair.
How can you win best movie when you only watched half the movie?
Look, man, we talked about it before the show. That guy, Guillermo del Toro, he's one of my favorites because he does a lot of sci-fi horror stuff. He's the guy behind Hellboy. And despite what he tried to sell before the movie, how it wasn't connected to Hellboy, the main character is exactly like Abe Sapien, who was one of the characters in Hellboy. But you know what you don't say when you want to win an Oscar? It's a prequel to Hellboy. You don't tell people that this movie has like a relation to a comic book movie that featured a giant dude all red who had to shave his horn so he didn't look like the devil. If you want to win an Oscar.
So wait a minute. Was there any car crashes or any explosions in Shape of Water? Were there like Hellboy?
I only saw half of it, John. The first half, there weren't any car crashes.
Wait a minute. No one picked up a car with one hand and threw it at anybody?
And fought some demon monster from hell dimension. No.
How could this be a sequel to Hellboy if no one threw a car?
Well, I will say it's a prequel, but you don't, like I said, you don't tell people that.
Oh, wait, it was a prequel?
Yes, because at least it felt like it was set at a time maybe consistent with Hellboy becoming a thing, but it wasn't like, I'm trying to think of the timeline of those dopey movies. It was... Yeah, Hellboy came about in like World War II.
Well, I didn't see the movie, but didn't the girl fall in love with this fish thing or this monster from...
People are suggesting they had sex at some point. I didn't see that in the first half of the movie. I guess I got to watch the second half to find out. But the movie is interesting. It'll keep your attention for a little bit, I guess, because the woman, Sally Hawkins, the actress...
Was she deaf?
She's deaf in it. And like, I guess when you hear about a character being deaf, you kind of, oh, they're deaf. Oh, it's sad.
So it's okay to have relations with a sea creature?
No, what I'm saying is, I feel like to take people out of the mode of, oh, that's a deaf woman. We should feel bad for her. Like, the first scene we see her, she's masturbating in the tub.
Oh.
I think it's like, hey.
Why, deaf people can't masturbate?
No, I think it's, hey, she's just like everybody else. She masturbates, so don't think of her as a deaf person. I think it's supposed to shock your system into thinking, she's just like everybody else. She just happens to be deaf. Yeah.
Right.
She's in there naked in a bathtub masturbating. Hey, she's not. She's an everyday person.
That's
you don't have
all.
To feel bad for her.
She just can't hear. That's all.
I just feel like that was like.
She still likes to pleasure herself.
I was thinking that's probably done for a reason, just to let people. Yeah, she's normal.
You didn't see it, but Guillermo del Toro, he took. Usually it's the producers that go up there for best movie. And they said, well, they want to thank it because they paid for everything. But Guillermo del Toro got up there, and he had already won for Best Director. And he got up there, and he just started talking about diversity and
inclusion,
other countries.
Immigrants.
And yeah, and all that stuff. And then he was done, and the Oscars were over. And the main producer goes up to the microphone, and he's talking, and they turned it off on him. And then Jimmy comes up and goes, well, wait, this is awkward. Of course, we have to have an awkward moment for Best Picture because that's what we do. What did you want to say? Oh, Guillermo del Toro's great. Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye, everybody. And it was really, really awkward. It was really horrible.
Of course it was. So is that the protocol? The producers talk about it when they win Best Picture?
Yeah, because they're the ones that paid for it.
I guess so. I didn't know the protocol. I thought the director got to talk about
it. No, usually
it all the time.
It's the producers. The
he goes up
director
there.
Director talks about being best director.
He goes up there along with them, but the producers get to speak because, well, it's all their money.
It's their money.
Well, Guillermo's like, I don't care. You're not the creative force behind this movie. You didn't put a masturbating deaf woman in the first scene.
How do you know he didn't? How do you know that that wasn't as soon as they read the script? Oh, I'm in. Okay, how much do I? How much do you want me to? What do you want me to write a check for?
But it's still his decision. I'm just saying they didn't think of it. I bet you they didn't think of it.
No, they didn't write the movie.
That's what I'm saying. So he's like, I'm the creative force. You guys paid, but you made your money back in Oscars.
Unless Guillermo del Toro said, wait a minute, we need something else here. How about masturbation? That would be awesome.
Hey, it was awesome.
Well, stop. The kids are on their way to school, Dell. You can't say
is it?
That.
Oh, it's still school, huh?
Yeah. The kids are on their way to school. There's that. Kobe won an Oscar. Are you proud of him?
No, Raheel is. I don't care about Kobe one way or the other. It was interesting to watch him walk up there because, you know, movie stars are usually generally pretty small.
Yeah, no. He when he got up on the stage.
Towers over everybody.
Oh, my God. It was like twice the size of the little dude that introduced him.
Like Oscar Isaac, who's the star. Part of the new Star Wars series. He was in a new movie, Annihilation, that premiered a couple weeks ago. He's like, here, Kobe.
Yeah.
And he just stares up at him.
I know. That was a little awkward. But Kobe, hey, I don't just dribble. He kind of screwed up. I don't just dribble and shoot, he said. Well, she just said it was, you just shut up and dribble. She didn't say anything about shooting, Kobe.
Yeah. Okay. She doesn't care about your shooting percentage.
She just said.
In fact, she'd like you to pass the ball more.
Yes, actually, she does. She's against you just dribbling. I think she wants more ball movement.
You sure she wasn't discussing? You sure she wasn't talking about Steve Francis? Hey.
Or James?
That too.
I think that she's a huge basketball fan.
She's a John Stockton fan.
And she was like, listen, just shut up and dribble. But let's move the ball.
I feel like, she's a huge Warrior fan. She loves the ball movement.
Well, she doesn't like talking on the court. That's what she meant. Shut up and dribble. Enough with the talking, with the trash talking.
So she would love Kawhi Leonard then.
Yes.
Yeah.
She thinks Kawhi Leonard's all that. Some other headlines from this weekend. It looks like Kirk Cousins is going to get $30 million.
From possibly the Vikings?
Yeah. And if he goes to the Vikings, the thought is Case Keenum to the Broncos. Is Case Keenum the second best option out there in your mind?
For the Broncos?
No, or just for anybody.
Period?
I don't know.
Who's available besides Kirk Cousins?
Sam Bradford?
I'm
Teddy Bridgewater?
Oh, all the other Vikings quarterbacks?
Yeah.
I'll take Case.
Every Vikings quarterback is
available. Yeah, particularly if you're signing Kirk Cousins.
Right.
I'm taking Case. Does that... Then the Vikings are probably drafting a quarterback in the mid-rounds?
Brock is out there?
Okay.
All right.
You said it. I don't know what that means for everybody, but you said it. So if you're the Vikings and you sign Kirk Cousins, are you keeping, you can't, can you, you would think it'd be, you would keep Bridgewater for a backup? How much is Bridgewater going to command on the open market? Because they still need a backup quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know that Teddy Bridgewater goes to a place where he's just going to be a backup. I think he's probably going to want to compete.
At least compete for the job.
Yeah. And he knows he's not getting it if Kirk Cousins is getting 30.
Yeah, I got you.
I think Arizona's a possibility. Hey. They could still draft a guy in the top 10, 12, and Teddy Bridgewater could go there because he's still got a chance to compete for the starting job.
Do you draft I know Teddy's, he feels like he's been around forever, but what is he, like 25, 26? If that, are you drafting a guy in the first round that high and bringing in a quarterback
that age? It depends on what you got to pay him, right?
Yeah, and Teddy Bridgewater is 25 years old. He'll be 26 in November, so... Even late in the year, almost he'll be 26. It's interesting that thought. If you're Arizona, if it does happen, you're going to pay Bridgewater how much? Because what's competing for the job money as opposed to starting quarterback money?
Well, Case Keenum was the starter at $2 million this year.
Well,
you just got to play better.
Well, they fell into that.
Yeah, they fell into it, but you got to play better. There's also AJ McCarron out there. I don't know. I'm not a big AJ McCarron guy.
I think Case is your second best option behind Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I think so too.
Kirk Cousins.
Some people might think Sam Bradford. I don't know. Drew Brees hasn't signed yet, so he's a possibility.
We all expect that just to be formality, right? Yeah,
we all expect that.
Unless the Saints just decide to go in a different direction, which I couldn't imagine.
Yeah. I'm, you know, if I'm the Vikings, I go, Case, you know, is Kirk Cousins that much better than Case Keenum? Like $30 million to $10 or $12 million? Because I'm pretty sure Case would go back. If I'm Case Keenum, would you, if they said, give me, yeah, we'll give you 3 years, 36, I think you'd do that right now.
Because of the pedigree, but it is underpaying for starting, starting quarterback.
Is.
But
you
is
know
Case
going to
make
out.
That anywhere else?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. His agent knows what the market is right now. You know, $18 million is just a middle-of-the-road paying quarterback.
If you're paying Ryan Tannehill that, even if it's for 1 year, why isn't Case making that?
Right.
If you're the Vikings, is Kirk Cousins worth that much compared to what you could pay Case?
Not to me.
I feel like they were never all in. Mike Zimmer throughout the year was talking about horseshoes and stuff like that. But why aren't you paying Case Keenum, even if it's a two-year deal? 2 years, $18 million or $19 million apiece, as opposed to going all in on Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins, that doesn't make much sense to me. What's the difference?
I think that the market is different because of all the quarterbacks in this draft. I mean, if I'm a team, do I think that Case Keenum is that much better an option than Mason Rudolph?
Is Kirk Cousins that much better?
I don't think so. I'm not a big Cousins guy, though.
Neither am I.
A lot of people are higher on him than I am. And Kirk Cousins is higher on himself.
Well, clearly.
I got to get $30 million. What?
Says who? Well, says yourself.
Well, because he got the franchise.
Well, that's because the Redskins couldn't make a decision.
Looks like the Steelers are going to tag Le'Veon Bell again. He's going to be pissed off because he's going to make a bajillion dollars. Well,
no one likes the 1 year. For whatever reason, that whole $18 million or whatever. Jarvis Landry's going to make $16 a minimum, and he ain't thrilled. He wants his long-term deal. I get it. You want the long-term stability and it's kind of like funny money with the NFL. Contracts can be manipulated. But if you sign the franchise tag, they're guaranteeing you a certain amount. But guys want their long-term deals. I'm glad. If Jarvis goes, I'm glad. Not because of whatever issues he may have. I'm just sick and tired of watching Dolphin play callers decide, you know what we're going to do? We're going to throw the ball 1 yard beyond the line of scrimmage and hope Jarvis Landry's make four guys miss and maybe pick up a first down. He had like 100-plus catches and had less than 1,000 yards. He had like 987 last year and caught over 100 balls because since he's been in the league, whether it be Joe Philbin, Bill Lazor, now Adam Gase, we're going to treat him like an extended part of the running game no matter what the numbers say. We're going to just toss it out to him and see what he does, even on third down. So it's not about Jarvis. I just think Miami Dolphin play callers have been so bad in utilizing him because he's like a running back. Just go. I'm tired of watching that offense not operate.
Well, if it's not him, it'll be somebody else, though. And he's really good at it.
I get it, but it doesn't have to be. You realize, we don't have that type of guy. We're going to have to change.
Right.
And it's not his fault. I just feel like watching that off. I hope wherever he goes, people decide, you know, to stop throwing the ball 2 yards beyond the line of scrimmage and let him try to make first downs out of nothing. I don't know what his value is, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
He's pretty unique as a player. But usually guys who put up 987 yards on 100 catches don't make top-end money.
What's his tag number?
I think it's 16.
16? Le'Veon's a 14 and a half with his second tag. I don't understand these guys. I mean, I understand they want long-term guaranteed money, but goodness gracious, you're playing 1 year for $14.5 million.
Yeah, and
get over it.
And if you are not a dope, that money's clearly enough to set you up, but I get it when you watch other guys who are at your position or
they ain't getting $14.5 million.
Well, they're getting, I guess, 20 plus over however many years guaranteed. I get that part, but it, like you said, it's still 14.
But you got your 12.5 last year. You're getting 14.5 this year. That, guess what? That's 27.
I don't know who the top paid running backs are, but that's part of his ego. You want to, hey, I'm better than him. Pay me like the best running back in football. Right. Stop staying on the pot and only paying me for a year at a time.
816 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
My nitty bag, my kitty boots. I got the juice, I got...
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 703-780-3776. Raheel's going to be joining us at 9 o'clock. In the meantime, just me and Dell, so you guys can come in, come on in, 713-780-3776. Rockets with a big... And do you kind of feel... I mean, honestly, that was as good a regular season basketball game as I have seen. Obviously, it means more to us because it's Houston. It was on ABC. Totally sweet. You didn't get a stinker because Cleveland wasn't playing, which was awfully nice. But it was a... It was like they had to win. It was like a must-win game. It, because if they lose, they're out of... They have absolutely no... If they lose another game, they have absolutely no chance to get home court advantage throughout the playoffs.
That's what it feels like?
That's what it feels like, well, doesn't it?
Obviously, the Rockets started... When this winning streak started, they were behind the Warriors. But you win 15 in a row, and you're still only half game up.
Yeah.
Now, you're a game and a half up because, obviously, you beat the Warriors 2 out of 3. But... Yeah, it feels like any loss means the Warriors will catch you, and if the Warriors catch you, maybe you don't ever.
Only a half game up because if they beat you by, well, they got to beat you by a full game.
Yeah,
right?
Beat them by a full game, so it's not as desperate, but it feels like the Rockets are playing, and plus they're just a really, really, really good team. So, but it feels particularly last night. I think the Rockets, when they face teams that can allegedly legitimize what they are, you're going to feel that way. I mean, they're going into OKC. I don't know if you'll get the same atmosphere. You'll get it from the OKC side, and the crowd will be crazy. But a game at home on Saturday night, what the NBA does a great job, at least like you said, when the Cavs aren't playing, their primetime games are pretty big. It was like an atmosphere that suggested that was game 5 of a finals.
It was
crazy. And the game itself lived up to the hype. The Rockets were down, put on a good push in the fourth quarter, and made all the winning plays, which is what they've done. And you start to wonder, if you didn't believe in them before, how many teams do they have to beat before you start?
Well, and I kind of feel like, they're good. Boston is really good. And I said, I'm more worried, if you want to know the truth, I'm more worried about Milwaukee or New Orleans.
Well, New Orleans is a problem for everybody
right
now.
Yeah, New Orleans is playing well. At Milwaukee is going to be tough. This is the stretch where they've gone to Denver, Utah, and LA, the Clippers, and won. But now it's at Oklahoma City, at Milwaukee, at Toronto, at Dallas, and not at Dallas, but the other three that at Oklahoma City, at Milwaukee, and at Toronto, you got to bring your game now.
It's funny listening to the broadcast. And I say this because I'm wondering if other teams can try to duplicate what Boston did in controlling the tempo, because throughout the game and really from the broadcaster to watching it, you got the sense that Boston had control. And then you look up and at the end of the game, the Rockets still scored 123 points. But it felt like that game wasn't being played at their pace until the fourth quarter. It got kind of frantic for Boston, and certainly frantic for the Rockets, and they kind of thrive in that atmosphere despite their ability to slow it down and go one-on-one in the half court. I don't. Can other teams duplicate that and make it a more of a deliberate game where the Rockets don't force you to do things you don't want to do? I wonder. Boston has a great guard in terms of controlling tempo and Kyrie. Can other teams duplicate that? Will Russell Westbrook be able to do that, or will he be far more interested in going at 100 miles an hour, taking quick shots? And when he take quick shots, they're usually in the mid range, and those long rebounds possibly turn into quick possession for the Rockets. I am interested to see if teams will decide to more deliberately control the tempo.
Well, they have. I mean, Utah did. Sacramento did. I'll guess worse teams. Miami, that was not a high-flying, high-scoring game. San Antonio wasn't. The Rockets are playing much better half-court defense right now. Better.
Yeah, they got stops in the fourth. And even their offensive ability to get second chances on possessions was big in that fourth quarter.
Probably the biggest difference in the game.
Yeah, the Celtics cannot close out possessions. The Rockets got multiple opportunities, and they made them pay.
This is a stretch of 10 out of 13 on the road. And, are you worried about Oklahoma City tomorrow night?
For all of their issues, and we think they're playing well, but they're still the seventh seed. But we pointed out they're like a game out of third. That's a team that believes that they can beat anybody. And with those three players, they probably can on any given night. And, yeah, going into that game in OKC, I'm not worried about it. It's a one regular season game. But if you're concerned about losses and you won 15 in a row, at some point you're going to have to lose. Why wouldn't it be on a Tuesday night in OKC? They have – the formula would say, all right, the Rockets coming off an emotional win at home, got to go on the road, start of a road trip. Why wouldn't that be the spot that says, okay, time to take a loss here?
And this is a stretch of 5 games in 7 days.
Which would mean probably at the back end of that would you be really concerned. But starting off a road trip in OKC, can you – I mean, you had a couple days off. Can you match what you brought against Boston on the road in a place that's going to be full of energy? And you're the target now. You're not just the, okay, the Rockets are really good. We're not sure who they are. You're at 15. Everyone wants to end that winning streak. And OKC, after losing to Golden State, this is their next opportunity to prove that they're one of the best teams in the West. You got a shot to beat the Rockets at home. I'm sure they'll be extremely motivated for that.
The good news is the last 2 games are at Dallas and San Antonio here. And of who, that five, and who game, knows, 5 games in 7 days.
And who knows what San Antonio will be. Will Kawhi be playing? Will LaMarcus be healthy enough to play? That would be funny. Kawhi is scheduled to probably play sometime this month. It'd be interesting if Popovich was like, you know what, we're gonna bring you back here against the Rockets.
So much for this easier schedule right now. Talk about March. Holy crap! A back to back here tonight and tomorrow. Back to back Sunday and Monday. Back to back next Saturday and Sunday. Back to back the following Saturday and Sunday. It's and only one day off in between on any of these.
They gave them a lot of days off as early far on. As relatively speaking to in the All-Star break. They didn't have to play till what, Thursday or Friday?
Right.
Coming off the All-Star break. So they got – and the All-Star break was started, I guess, on Wednesday or Thursday. I don't remember.
Would you rather have that 9 days off or more time in between these games?
I think as you get to the end of the run, you probably would have had one or more time off. Maybe you – yeah – It depends, but I think now that you're in it, you would have rather been like, you know what? I'd rather not have to play 5 games in 7 nights.
Right. A couple days off would be nice. They got a couple off. This is crap. It's not like they're the only team going through it, but this is the toughest, without a doubt, the toughest stretch of the year, especially with all the room. 10 road games out of 10 out of 13. They had it nice early on, though. All right, 828 ESPN 97.5 was trying to catch up. 713-780-3776. You want to get in here? Come on. Turn up the lights in here, baby. Extra bright, I want y'all to see this. Turn up the lights in here, baby. You know what I need. Want you to see everything. Want you to see everything. My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 834 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to get in here, you're more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776 is the number. I was just looking at all kinds of different stuff that the biggest needs for every Major League Baseball team. Your Houston Astros, their biggest need, according to this report, are they even better? With the addition of Gerrit Cole, with this rotation as good as it is, the biggest question to me is closer, is whether or not you've got a guy that you can. I think, you know, Ken Giles obviously was pretty damn good last year. I think we are, because we know who Ken Giles is, right?
Yeah. You won't feel comfortable unless you're up by multiple runs.
Right.
And you expect it to get hairy, and you just hope he only gives up the one and you can get out of there with the win.
That's it. But I'll tell you this, with the additions that they've gotten, with the guys, with Will Harris, is it okay to be bullpen? Is it okay to be closer by committee?
I don't.
Most teams love to have that guy, but they don't have that guy.
No. And is AJ going to treat it like the ninth inning, like it's the seventh? We're just going to, whatever the matchup dictates, that's the guy I'm going to bring in.
Is there anything wrong? I've never understood
I don't think it's a problem as long as it works. If you don't have the guy, go find
your
matchup.
To me, it's selfish. If you're a closer, if you're the best, and 3, 4, 5 are coming up in the eighth inning, and you don't want to pitch to those guys because you are the closer, and that's your role. To me, that's where the game can be won and lost. That's where you want your best. 2, 3, 4, 3, 4, 5 is coming up in the eighth inning. That's where I want my best. So to me, if it's Devenski or if it's Giles in the eighth because you feel like he's a better matchup and he's got better numbers against those guys, well, then throw Harris or Devenski or whoever, Rondon or whatever, in the ninth.
Well, obviously, it's a bit about selfishness because at the end of a contract, no one's going to look and say, well, most of the time, this guy was facing the best or the meat of the lineup, but it happened to be in the eighth, so he got those outs, but he didn't get the save.
Yeah.
Of course, when you're trying to get your next deal, you got to point to, hey, I just put away 40 saves, three blown saves, an ERA of whatever the number is, pay me this. Now, if it's down to 29 saves because I'm coming in the eighth inning multiple times per year, guys are going to care. So, yeah, it will be about selfishness.
Well, did I get those guys out, though? Am I getting their best hitters out? And if I'm an agent,
you gotta
work that.
You got to hope people look at that and say, yeah, but the Astros did something unique here. I was brought in the eighth. I got the outs. Pay me like a guy who was getting the best players out.
Right. While I didn't get a save, I got a hold or I got whatever I was facing. And if you're an agent, you work those numbers.
Yeah, but we talked about Brad Peacock. How pissed was maybe people close to him that he didn't have the number of wins he might have had because he was being pulled for whatever reason after 4 2/3. So numbers matter.
Absolutely they matter. Absolutely they matter.
Even for your own record, even just for yourself to look back and say, I was a 16-game winner instead of a 10-game winner, and I just because of my manager didn't want let me get one more out,
right?
That's going to piss you off.
Well, but you go into arbitration with that with those numbers. Well, and you go in and you say, and an arbiter will look at it and say, I get it. I get what you're saying. Oh, by the way, I don't even know that it's arguable. He was their best pitcher from the start to the end of the season. If you look at that in all of those guys, Brad Peacock was their best pitcher all year long.
And someone who isn't AJ Hinch, but is someone looking at the numbers who's on the Astros side, well, it's like he got 11 wins. How much does a guy who gets, I don't even know the number, but let's say 11 wins, how much does an 11-win winner really deserve?
11 wins gets $11 million. It's about a win. It's about $1 million a win.
Well, if you're Brad Peacock, I should have had 16.
Yeah, right. Because AJ came out with 4 2/3, right? So Devenski's changed his approach a little bit. They quickened him up.
Is it his walk to the mound? Is he stopped?
No,
strutting.
He's going to strut. Okay. He is going to walk up to the mound like a badass. Okay, that is not changing. He's walking out of the bullpen like bleep you, I'm here.
You think we could have a rule where he alters his walk depending on how he did, like after the inning's over and maybe he gives up a hit but not any runs, the walk isn't as jaunty as it normally is?
Well, how do you want him to walk? With his feet so straight out and waddle back to the...
It depends on what he did that inning.
Okay, you want him to trip or something?
I don't need him to fall down, but let's vary the walk depending on what you did. If you struck out the side, you can grab your balls and walk. I don't care how you do it.
You're going to go Baker Mayfield off the field.
Yeah, people seem to love that thing.
I know I do.
I know you did.
How about he does the Baker Mayfield with his hands running off the field with his hands going?
Yeah, do that if you strike out the side.
Oh, my God. No. Somebody's going down. Baseball. Somebody's going to get hit.
Yeah, baseball won't allow
that. If you do that, somebody's going to get hit. So, anyway, they put his hands a little bit closer. Hopefully, it doesn't impact his pitching. Hopefully, it impacts his pitching a lot from the postseason.
What's the reasoning behind it? The delivery to keep runners from stealing?
Yeah, it deters the running game, especially against him. they're tinkering with eliminating wasted time and losing his effectiveness of his pitches, including his big leg kick, because you don't want to. Hey, the Astros, let's face it, they're not throwing a lot of guys out. It doesn't matter who's behind the plate. They ain't throwing a lot of guys out.
No.
So any little help that they can get in that. And if I'm another team, I don't want to run myself out of innings, but I've got to get any advantage I can against this Astros lineup. I've got to steal as many bases as possible. I got to do whatever I possibly can against, and especially against this bullpen, because this starting rotation is as good as it is in baseball. When Charlie Bleepin' Morton is your fifth starter, how freaking good are you?
It is weird. Well, it's not weird, but I don't. The starting rotation is one where you would hope you don't have to depend on your bullpen very much. And you always hear people, we need to get to that bullpen because the starting pitching is killing us. If what's your approach if you're the opposing team? You just work the count. You got to get these guys out of here because your best shot is getting to a bullpen that's changed, but one that showed some cracks last year. If the Astros make a move, you look at the lineup and you look at the starting rotation. There's not a lot of move to be made, but do you imagine a closer would be acquired? Is that the most likely addition at the trade deadline if it comes to be? If you're just looking at the overall roster,
I think I got to see how it plays out, right?
Yeah, but you don't imagine.
Would it shock you if Rondon is the closer on this team?
It wouldn't surprise me if anyone is. To be honest with you,
a guy who can hump it up there with Giles at 100. I've never seen. I don't know what the deal is with Giles' 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
That it doesn't move.
It doesn't move. It's just so flat. Dudes are not scared of that thing. Nobody's scared of it. I mean, he has to go to his slider more than any 100-mile-an-hour fastball guy I've ever seen.
He's supposed to be able to just beat people with that thing.
Yeah, and he can't.
No.
He can't get it by anybody. And that's 100 miles an hour. I've never seen that. Usually a guy who throws 100 will dominate with that pitch, and you don't have to worry about any other pitch. He's got to go to that slider more than anybody I've ever seen with that kind of fastball.
And what is that? Is that just how that ball moves? There's nothing to create movement. It just happens to be what he is and
where he's releasing it or whatever. I'm not. Obviously, I only play a pitching coach on the radio. But it's all about how well guys see it. Maybe where he's releasing it gives him a little bit more time or whatever the case may be. But holy crap. He has got to have that slider. He's got to rely on that thing all the time. Do you think Rich Drake is still in his car right now?
Well, the last time you talked about him was about an hour ago. So what's the commute like for Rich Drake? Do you know?
I don't know. Maybe he wasn't in his car because he didn't say anything. I thought maybe he was hungover, but I think he's quit drinking, which disgusts me. But
do you think it's better off for Rich that he quit drinking? Did he have a problem?
I don't think it's better off for anyone when people quit drinking. I think it's...
Raheel would disagree.
I think it's bad for society.
He thinks you're at your best when you're not drinking.
Well, that's stupid. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, it did come from Raheel.
Raheel did say it, so that's on him.
What? Raheel without his headphones. I was like, what are you talking about?
He's like, well, all of a sudden, what? How did I get it? What the hell did I do? I'm just sitting here. So Rich Drake is the guy who runs Renter's Warehouse. Now, I don't know. Do you want a guy who's renting out your house who's hungover? And maybe still stinky drunk. I don't know. But Rich is apparently not drinking right now, so there's that. So maybe he can concentrate and focus on getting your house rented out. And actually, he does it better than anybody on an average of 17 days. Here's the deal. Go try to sell your home and see how long it's going to take you to sell. Now, go try to rent it out and see, holy cow, right away you got people that want. People want to rent homes. They are not buying. More and more and more people are renting and not buying, doing with their money whatever they want to do with it, as opposed to, or they just don't, you know, you're getting out of wherever, getting out of school, or you just don't have enough for that down payment for the kind of house that you want, but you can rent and live where you want. Here's the deal, too, is you can make money off of it. As opposed to selling it, and then investing it stupidly, you know what? Hold on to your real estate and let Renter's Warehouse have other people pay off your mortgage. That's how people get rich. When you buy a building for people to rent it out and put a restaurant in or an office building or whatever it is, other people are paying off that loan. That's the same concept with your house. Do it. A lot of people are making unbelievable money just renting out their homes. So go to renterswarehouse.com, 713-224-RENT, 713-224-RENT, or renterswarehouse.com. I remembered each flash,
this time. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Justin Thomas, hoyo 18, frente a la galería, última ronda. Ahí está el swing, el estadounidense. ¡Qué bien picó esa bola! ¡Viene para abajo, para abajo, para abajo! ¡Sí, adentro! ¡Justin, Justin, Justin! ¡Lo hizo, lo hizo! ¡Magia pura en el club de Chapultepec! ¡Última ronda! ¡Justin Thomas, Eagle! ¡Esto lo puede hacer campeón! ¡Esto lo puede coronar! ¡Sí, vaya swing! ¡Qué manera de cerrar! ¡Qué manera de rematar una ronda final en menos 16! ¡Justin Thomas puede hacerlo! ¡El sueño es posible!
Why did he say eagle?
Told you.
It's águila.
No, it's specific to the sport. It's a term for sport, so they say eagle.
If it's an eagle, it's an águila.
They say touchdown in Spanish language broadcast when you score a touchdown.
Yeah, but that's different. See, this is a birdie, pajarito.
No,
águila.
But it's not an actual birdie or an actual eagle.
Yes, it is.
There's not an eagle. An eagle didn't fly into the hole. So he says eagle.
It's called an águila.
No, they don't say that because somebody might get confused and think an eagle flew into the hole.
Well, are you confused when you say it in English? No.
No, because
it's an eagle.
It's specific to the sport. That's why. That's why he used that term.
No,
you say águila, people are like, why did Justin Thomas hit an actual eagle into the hole?
Baja, 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 eagle. What?
They say touchdown. Same thing.
No.
Specific term for the sport.
No, I'm sorry. That's stupid. So I'm pissed off. What do you think about the call, though, in Mexico?
It's sad that golf has to resort to soccer gimmicks to make their game interesting.
No, but there was a hole-in-one, and they go, oh!
Yeah.
Ross Fisher had a hole-in-one, and they did that.
Well, you have to do things to make your game more interesting. Because people in Spanish don't... People who are listening to it in Spanish aren't
really
that interested
in
golf.
They were in Mexico, and it was the crowds were unbelievable.
Were they Mexicans?
Yes, they were Mexicans.
Are you sure they didn't import white people?
What?
For the event,
they don't import white people in Mexico.
I feel like they do that at all golf tournaments. You could have a tournament in Third Ward, and the whole place would be white people.
I don't know if you've ever seen the lines. Okay, the border lines.
What do you mean?
Come on, keep coming this way. It's wide open heading that way. Okay, but coming back this way, it's kind of crowded.
That's what I'm saying. All the white people who they need to make they had to fill out the crowd went down. I looked at that crowd and seemed kind of pale for a tournament in Mexico.
So you're saying that the Mexican people can't be light skinned?
What I'm saying is they see more sun and they did not appear to care about golf that much.
Listen, you don't know. You can't just look at people and know what's going on. Didn't you tell everyone today you were African American?
Yeah, because you look at me, you can see that. You said look at them, not hear them.
Well, did you hear any of those people?
I heard, yes.
No?
I heard.
Well,
I heard,
wait a minute. If you applaud, can you tell if I'm Mexican or American?
That was clearly a white clap.
Oh, that's a white clap.
Yes. Yes. That clearly was the sound of appropriation clapping.
You think I appropriated my clap?
I'm sure the people who went down there did some appropriating during and after the tournament and before when they had some off time from golf. I'm sure there was some appropriating going on.
How proud are you of Phil Mickelson?
I don't care too much about what Phil Mickelson does, but I guess congratulations for winning a tournament that's not in America.
For the first time in 5 years winning anything.
Congratulations. What's wrong with him?
What do you mean what's
wrong? What was wrong with him? Why wasn't he winning?
He just wasn't good enough. Mm. Now he's playing well, though. He's playing really well. And I heard Trey Wingo and Golic. Is that the name of the show?
I don't know.
Tiger is apparently 16-1 to win the Masters, and Phil went from 30-1 to 18-1 after this win. And they were still amazed that Tiger was a bigger favorite. And Wingo made the quote was, I can't believe that they think that Tiger has a better percentage chance. I wanted to call and say, dude, just because Tiger is 16-1 doesn't mean that Vegas thinks he has a better percentage chance.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
That's not how it works. how it works is we're worried about if we make it Tiger a bigger longer odds, we're going to get nothing but Tiger money, and we could lose our ass. That's what it's about. If you put what we want to do is not get too much Tiger money just in case. Because, by the way, Tiger has played pretty damn well in his history. Now, it's been a while since he's won at Augusta. It's been a while since he's won anywhere. But just in case, because we know that Tiger's, the second best player ever, Tiger could possibly win, and we don't want to pay all that money out.
People are still looking at him like Jordan was with the Wizards. Like, and then he could go for 40. I mean, we don't expect it to happen.
But he could.
But he could.
Right. Huh. God forbid he goes for 40 that week and we had him at 30-1. People will still bet on him at 16-1. You're still going to get Tiger money. But we don't want to pay out 30-1. He should be more like 30 or 40 or 50-1. But we don't want to pay that because people will still bet on him. Especially at 40-1.
They'll look at it as a great bet, just to see.
Right.
It'd be interesting to bet on Tiger if he wins.
God forbid Tiger goes in there and wins. Holy crap. Or even if he's in contention in the final round, now all of a sudden you can bet on all the other guys and kill Vegas.
For the first time, as you're talking, I'm regretting Lance not being here.
Because it's golf?
Because I actually have to be serious about this while you're having the discussion. I can't just start talking about Netflix. I have to be the one who I'm here to have to throw stuff off of. I don't like it.
You dislike?
I don't like having to be the serious guy when you're talking about golf. Yeah, you're talking about betting lines on golf and what Tiger's capable of.
Everybody in their car right now though wants to talk about golf.
There's no one. Actually, you know what? I don't want to be involved in your gimmick. That's why I regretted it as soon as I said it. Here we go. All right, if you want to talk about golf, call in 713.
Here we go. 780-3776.
No, we can't. We got to say goodbye cuz Sports Map is coming up.
Bye. No, we got to say hello.
No, we got to say goodbye to the segment and this show and pretend like the people on this show aren't the same people who are going to be on the next show.
Well, the show's not over yet because
it's over.
Lance would still be here until 9:30. But Raheel joins us next right here on ESPN 97.5. He won't turn his mic on before 9 o'clock. He refuses.
Well, this is a man who has principles. Well, not principles.
Not principles.
He's just lazy.
No, it's laziness. That's all it is. Even though Lance isn't here, it's just lazy. That's all it is.
Yeah, he's been here for the last 30 minutes. I'm not even supposed to be doing this right now.
Did Phil illegally invest the winnings from his tournament yet? No. Not that he wouldn't, but he didn't yet. He hasn't even cashed the big check yet.
Yeah, he's got to wait for that thing to clear.
The gigantic check. You know how hard it is to bring that to the bank? All right, 8:56. We're taking a break. We're going to join 94.1. 94.1's going to join us, rather, on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
I don't really care what you say.
ESPN 97.5.